listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Think of these words that were just sung, oh, how I love Jesus. It can be said lightly, it can be said wrongly, but there is a way that we can love Him, as the last words of the chorus stated, the reason given, because He first loved us. As we have been studying the words of Paul to the church at Rome, where he stated that whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Part of the image of Christ will be to love the Father, to love Christ, to love the Spirit, to love the Word, and also, as John could write, if God so loved us, stating first not that we loved God, but if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. As Paul could say, a faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And though some would think carelessly, I've always loved God, Some would say, doubtfully, I don't love him, I fear to say it. There is a right place and a right way. And God, in His plan, His predestination, His calling, His justification, His sanctification, can and does give that love. And we need to pray that God will give more of that, and that would be a reviving in the church, in the home, in our individual lives, and in the nation, each nation in which we dwell. Let's pray that we might be able to do with the songwriter stating, there is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. Reading now from Romans chapter 8, verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then in verse 32, he gives the reason why God can now be for us. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We can give thanks that we can pray in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, we do come through Christ. We come asking in his name that we might be taught to rightly come through him, to rightly name that name, that we do not do so in vain, in lightness, or out of just habit, but that we might do it out of our need, knowing, Father, that our needs cannot be met and will not be met except they be met from thee and from thy throne on high, and cannot be met except because of Christ. We give thanks, Lord Jesus, that thou hast told us that if we ask in thy name, the Father will hear us, and also that thou wilt hear us. And we pray now that we may not only be heard, we pray that we might be taught to pray. And we pray that even as we read, Father, in these words of Paul to the church at Rome, that thou art thyself making intercession for us. And we pray that we might be included in that number referred to here, as well as the Spirit making intercession for the saints that we have read. We pray that this might take place, and we pray that it might be thy time for reviving, thy time for an outpouring of thy Spirit in a mighty way. We know it has been given in the past. We know that it was given shortly after thy ascension, Lord Jesus, when Peter could say, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And we believe, Father, that what was spoken there by Joel those many years before has not completely been fulfilled. For thou hast said other things that would take place as well. And we know that there are many other prophecies in thy word, not only from Joel, from Isaiah, from Jeremiah, and others of the prophets, thy speaking, Lord Jesus, thyself through Zechariah, and saying, I will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall mourn after me whom they have pierced. We pray that especially for Israel, for the house of David, for the house of Shimei, for the house of Nathan, as mentioned, but also for ourselves, that we might be revived in it. We pray for thy blessing on giving such a blessing, such a reviving, such an awakening, both reviving in the church, awakening in the world, awakening to both Jew and Gentile, that all of the ends of the earth will, as the psalmist could say, hear and fear and turn unto thee. We pray, Father, also for the temporal needs that there are. We give thanks for the many that have been met so wonderfully. For many of us, we in this area especially, being blessed above far above others, in peace, in the blessings in nature, the sunshine and the rain, having home, having raiment, having food, when others are in starvation, homeless, fearful, war-torn lands, we pray for them. We pray also for our homes, even where they could be right, that many are not content one with another, husbands with wives, and wives with husbands. We pray that thou would take away that discontentment, that pride, that lies, that bitterness, that there might be reconciliation both with one another, and especially reconciliation, Father, with thee. We know that if there's not forgiveness with them, with each other, that there cannot be forgiveness from thee either. And we pray that it might come soon, it might come now, and especially, Father, that none will be left in such a hardened state on the day of judgment. We pray for the church, that it might be taught rightly, so that it will in turn teach thy whole counsel, thy word, and not the tradition of men. We pray that, Father, for all of thy word, especially in regard to our homes, but as well in regard to the church, in regard to doctrine, and especially this doctrine of which we have read, of thy predestination, thy calling, the absoluteness of it. We pray that thou would open our hearts to rightly receive that word. We know there are many different views, some totally refusing to hear it, to think on it, others going to the extreme on possibly using it wrongly as an excuse to themselves. And we pray, Father, that thy Spirit might lead into all truth, and that it might be that straight and narrow way that thou hast spoken of, Lord Jesus, that leads to life in thyself. We pray for those in sickness, those in injury. We pray also that we might be kept from that. We acknowledge that it is in thee that we live and move and have our being in all things. We pray for those in hunger. We pray, Father, that those in suffering, those in sorrow, the lonesome, the troubled of mind, and whatever is the trouble, there might be an answer in Christ. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are in the schools, in the workplace, government, our leaders, all of that, Father, we pray that they may be dealt with because of Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we continue with the thoughts that we considered last week, especially verse 29 here of Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then added to it, in the 30th verse, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. We have the word predestination used both in verse 29, or predestinate, and again in 30, and we also have it used in Ephesians chapter 1, where we read verse 5 of that first chapter, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And the reason given in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. When that takes place, only then can we sing as we did, oh, how I love Jesus. When we're accepted in the beloved. When, as the second chapter of Ephesians stated, quickened together with Christ, and made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then, as David said in Psalm 40, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to God. A new song. Yes, we may repeat words, children may repeat words, singing with their parents, singing with older ones, long before they have that true love, long before they have been quickened together with Christ, or predestined to be adopted as children by Jesus Christ to himself. You can sing the words, but that doesn't mean we truly love the Lord Jesus, that we truly understand, as the last word stated because He first loved me. He first. That means exactly that. If He was first, then He doesn't love us because we loved Him. If He is first and He is, then He can, as Paul also states in Ephesians, created unto good works. And that is a good work. Singing to the Lord. Created. Created means beginning with nothing. That is good. Nothing that would do good works. Nothing that would sing praise to God. It's a new song to us. And it's a new way from a heart that's been opened by God to see His kingdom, to enter in, to receive His word. As the Lord Jesus did on the day of resurrection, He opened the understanding of the apostles that they might understand the scriptures. And then He spoke to them the scriptures pertaining particularly to the gospel and told them that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. All perfect plan. All perfect timing. There was an earlier time when they wanted to kill the Lord Jesus. But we read in the Gospels, His time was not yet. When it was time, according to God's determinate counsel, as Peter described it in Acts chapter 2, then the leader said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. It could not happen earlier, because it was not God's time. It could not go on later, because now, at that time, was God's time. God's way, God's time, at a particular place, to a particular people that refused Christ. And as Peter said, you with wicked hands have crucified this Jesus of Nazareth. But it was according to God's determinate counsel. There are those who think that if the Lord Jesus setting up His kingdom amongst the Jews, if they had taken it, then the kingdom would have begun then. Not so. That wasn't God's plan. It is stated long before that. He is refused and rejected of men. He is despised, Isaiah tells us. And God knew that. God allowed that. But God, in spite of that, did His plan. And not only with the Lord Jesus, the time, the place, the way of His death, but also the people. And even some of those that at this time of His crucifixion, hated Him, mocked Him on the cross. Yet we read later in the book of Acts that some of the priests became obedient to the faith. And one of the Pharisees became obedient to the faith. The Pharisee that is now writing to the church at Rome, is now writing to the church at Ephesus. We've read his words, and he knows it. He knew it for himself, that he was predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. Do you know that if you're a Christian? Do you know there's hope for you if you're not a Christian? Without that, there's no hope. The Old Testament prophet says, can the leopard change his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can I change mine from white to darker? When I went to India a number of years ago, had my picture taken amongst them, I looked like a pale face. Could I change it? Could they change theirs? No. God can and does change even the hard heart, the closed heart. And as we have been studying in recent weeks, even that wonderful scripture, that well-known scripture of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Many people think that all depends on the whosoever. They decide. But listen what God says about those whosoevers in verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They weren't saying, when Christ came into the world, oh, how we love Jesus. No, as Isaiah said, for he is despised, and he was. And Christ here said it to Nicodemus. This is the condemnation upon the whole world, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And it goes on, for everyone that doeth evil, everyone. Is there any one of you that would dare to say, I have not done evil? I'm not in that class? The Lord Jesus himself said, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. That was true with Adam. God is the light. When he heard the voice of God walking in the garden, he hid himself among the trees. He wanted to get in the dark. Everyone. And as Paul stated earlier in this letter to the church at Rome in chapter 3, asking the question, are we better than they? Better than others? His answer is, in no wise we have together, you and I and everybody else, together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I've repeated it often, and you might be weary of it, but how many believe it? How many actually believe they're included in those words? There's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's where God has to begin with us. That's what he does in his predestination. He predetermines to start with such and give them, as Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To give them, as he said here, Paul writing to the Romans, moreover, whom he predestined, them he also called. He calls not only with his word. The word is to be preached to every creature. But as Paul said, came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. In that way, he said, knowing your election, knowing your predestination, knowing that God chose you, he came and caused his word to come to them with power. It takes a power to stop us. It takes a power to turn us. It takes a power to save us. It takes a power to make us willing. As David already said, David the psalmist, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. We can think of it absolutely. It must come, or people remain totally unwilling. And we can even think of it in degree. The church can be sluggish after being called. It can be lukewarm, as the Laodiceans. It needs to be called again. Needs to be revived also by the Spirit of God, by Christ himself, saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The church likes to use that to the world and say, you must open the door. But Christ is saying it to the church. How sad that the church can go back to such a state. But in God, in his predestination, in his plan, and as the Lord Jesus said to that church, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. Paul writes to the Hebrews that no chastening for the present is joyous, but grievous. We hate it. We don't like to be reproved. But it says, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those that are exercised thereby. and how thankful we can be, how thankful we ought to be in this area, if God would chasten us with His Word. Other areas are being chastened in war, famine, homelessness, fires, drought, floods. All of that's taking place. I haven't experienced it, and we don't have it in our area, thankfully, but we could. And yet, when God chastens with His Word, oftentimes people will not listen until there comes another kind of chastening. Another kind, as God said by Jeremiah, that we studied some time back. A chastening that both the ears of those that hear it will tingle. Jeremiah said God would do with Judah as a man would do with a dish. Wipe it on one side, turn it over, and wipe it on the other side. Till there was really nothing left in Jerusalem but heaps and rubble. God could do that with any city, any town, any house, any person. He does it with automobiles, crushes them, and people die immediately. All in God's hand. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being. And then people want to complain about predestination when, as we read it here these four times in Romans 8 and Ephesians 1, it's for God's glory, it's the glory of His grace, but it's for your and my good if we are the predestinated ones. And those that don't want to believe it, those that don't want to have it, they shouldn't complain. If God isn't forcing them to do what they don't want to do, why should anyone complain? And He changes us. If He didn't change us, He'd have to force us. Like in the end, He's going to force us to hell. People are going to hide, want to hide from the, and ask the rocks and the mountains to fall on them when the Christ comes again. They'll try to get away, but He will gather them all together from the sea and from the land. And they'll all stand before Him. Oh, let's fall before Him now, before His Word. Thank Him for it and beg Him to do what He did here in Rome, in Ephesus, for you and me.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.